see all of you here. We're glad that you've come back tonight to be with us as we study through the Word of God tonight. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Thank you for coming out on a Sunday evening. It's always good to have visitors come back to come be with us, but on a Sunday evening, it is a wonderful time to have visitors. Brother Harry, it's good to see you. Brother Harry failed twice.
Yes.
Glad you're here, brother.
Present.
Yes. Yes, present. He failed twice, and so Sister Johnson, see there, it happens. You got to be careful when you fall. Make sure you fall lightly. If there's any way. I told y'all about 2 or 3 months ago, I was in the print shop, and I fell flat on my face. And Brother Chase just looked around the forklift and just asked, "Are you okay? Can you come near me?" I said, "Yeah, Brother Chase, I'm okay." So it's not fun when you fall, I promise you that. It is not. We'll be in Mark chapter 14 again. We're studying verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book of Mark. This is a wonderful time of the year. I tell you, I really enjoy this season from Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas time. I just really enjoy this time of the year, although it does get to going pretty fast for us and a lot going on. And sometimes I have to make announcements like this on the run, so bear with me as you turn into Mark chapter 14 when you all get your place in Mark 14. We will be in verse 53. That's where we let off last week. Verse 52 was last week. We'll start in verse 53. If you're our Sunday school teacher or on the security team or work at Discovery Club, I need your help on something. It'd be really wonderful if you'd do this for me. When the kids go to the restroom, we need to make sure they go one at a time, not two or three in the stall together. Okay, there's no need for that. So if y'all help me with that, that'd be a big blessing. That means over here at Big Church and over at Discovery Club with the little kids, make sure that they're going one at a time. If there's two stalls in there and you stand with the door open, make sure that they go in one stall only, not two, double them up, okay? Y'all just help me out with that. It's real important that we are doing our due diligence and best to make sure everything's okay. All right? Just help me out with that and we'll be okay. It's important. Really is. All right. I think that's all the announcements I got to make. So we'll get straight into Mark chapter number 14. And we'll read from verse number 53, maybe down to 65. And we'll cut it off right there. And then we'll speak a little bit about what's going on here in this chapter. Now, this is the chapter where last week they took him by night from the Garden of Gethsemane to take him to trial, take Jesus to trial. So in verse 53, Mark chapter 14, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear witness, false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together." Verse 57. "And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?' But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, 'Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven.'" Verse 63. "Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, 'What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?' And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Jesus is on trial at this time. In verses 53 through 54, you notice that Jesus is taken before the high priest. Now, Caiaphas is the high priest, but this is not where they first took him. If you would go over to John, they took him to the former high priest. Isn't it amazing how the former leadership still has some pull in all this? And in John chapter 18 and verse number 24, John 18 and verse number 24, the scripture says in John 18, 24, now Ananias had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. So they first took him, when they brought him out of the Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane, that they led Jesus bound, and they took him to Ananias, the former high priest, and then they talked with him there a little bit, spent some time, you know, mocking him, making fun of him, whatsoever. I don't know the whole reasoning behind that, other than Ananias had some pretty good power. It could have been, and I'm not sure on this, but it could have been that the Roman government actually set up Caiaphas, and Ananias was truly the high priest. And so they took him first, because it seems to me they would have took him straight to the one that had all the power during this time. And in the nation of Israel, the high priest had a lot of influence, a lot of power, you might say. But anyway, Ananias sent him on to Caiaphas, as we read there in Mark. That's where he ended up, at Caiaphas' place there. And the chief priests were also there. Look in 53, Psalms 50, Mark 53, verse chapter 14. It says, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief scribes and elders, and the scribes. Now, this included what they called the Sanhedrin Council. The Sanhedrin Council was a body, official body among the Jewish people, and it must have been hastily brought together, because this is nighttime. Remember, they came to Jesus at night, and I don't know if they had a roll call system or whatever, or if they had those that was kind of, well, they're going to go along with us, so let's wake them up and let's bring them to this here mock trials, because these trials were illegal by Jewish standards and by Roman standards alike. They were not legal trials that you would have here. But you notice over, if you would, go to Luke number 23, Luke chapter 23, and you'll notice a man there in this scripture. He was part of the Sanhedrin Council, but he did not consent unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. Now, some of you may recognize that name. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 50. Luke 23 and verse number 50, and the Bible says in Luke 23, 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. But you notice there, even with a dissent, from the agreement back over in Mark chapter number 14, verse 64, the Bible says, you have heard the blasphemy, what thank ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Isn't it amazing how they even include Joseph of Arimathea? All of us have come to this conclusion, but the scripture is very plain. Who might here know what Joseph of Arimathea did? What was one other deed he did after the death of the Lord Jesus? Yep, he came and got him out off of, requested with, and brought him down and loaned him his tomb. So this here was a man, he's a just man, he's a godly man, he sought after God's, but yet he was in a council that was seemingly a group of people was headlong out to just blatantly false accuse the Lord Jesus Christ that they might condemn him to death. If you notice in verse 54, Peter, it says there, Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at fire. Look back up to verse number 50 and notice what happened. The Bible says in verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. And remember the moment whenever they came there with the staves and with the swords, and then Peter whacked off the ear of one of the guards, a Malchimus, and Jesus healed and put it back together. At that time, every one of them fled. Every last one of them fled from there, including John the Beloved. But somewhere along the fleeing, he came to his senses, John and Peter. They both came to their senses. If you would, if you go over to John chapter number 18, John chapter 18, and look in verse 15. John gives us a little bit more information on this situation here. John chapter 18 and verse number 15. John 18 and 15, the Bible says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, many believe that that was John the Beloved, and you know, the one that was closest, loved by the Lord, and loved the Lord, and was always near and dear. But something happened. All of them fled, including John, including Peter. They all fled and went their separate ways during this frightful time in the night at the Garden of Gethsemane. But as they fled, something happened. I don't know what it was, if it was just, the spur of the moment, the Holy Spirit prompted them, or John remembered something. Perhaps John ran past the place where Jesus had healed those lepers and said, "What am I doing? What's going on here?" Have you ever been in the moment? Now, I've done this, seriously. And I'm going to tell you something. Sin begins in the mind. You start thinking on sin too long, dear friend, it won't be long before you're doing it. It's that simple. And so, if you ever enter the thought in your mind and just it's eating at you, whatever it might be, whatever is grabbing at you, and before you know it, you're gravitating, you're going over there, and then all of a sudden, maybe just a song, maybe a poem, maybe a verse of scripture pops in your head, and you say, "Wow, what am I about to do?" And you come back to your senses, and you come back, you begin to think about how good God is to you and how awful sin is and the destruction of sin and the problems that it's going to cause. And you realize, "I'm not going to do this great sin against God, against those I love." And you wake up. Maybe all of y'all are like monks and y'all just walk holy and high on the hall. And you don't ever have problems with sin. But I'm telling you, boy, my mind began to run and rage on me and, you know, things. And before long, man, if I don't come to my senses, I'm in big trouble. And I think this is what happened to Peter. And happened to John, or whoever you might determine that you think this disciple is. But something else happened. It's amazing that this the change took place. Peter followed. Another disciple followed. One ended up inside the palace room where the judgment was going on, which I'm assuming is John. And then the other, we notice, where did he go? Stayed outside with the servants in the cold. Let's read again, verse 54. And Peter followed him far off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And I got to thinking about that. Well, James, there's been many times in my life where I've come to my senses because perhaps I see somebody that I recognize in the church or somebody that I know that knows I'm a Christian, and I stop. But I'm still in my backslidden state. The only reason I stopped is because somebody saw me. Somebody was aware. And so I stopped. But I put up a front. I didn't get right. Like John ran, fled, just like the rest. Said, "What am I doing?" And he went on in there. There's many times that we put up that false front in our backslidden state. We're cold-hearted. We're cold spiritually. We don't want to do nothing that's spiritually on fire for God. We don't want to be involved in. We speak about God and the love of God with our lips, but our heart and our lives show nothing of it. And Peter's out there in his cold state, his spiritual state, and he stayed outside with them. And this is the problem, dear friend. Lost people recognize you.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, many Christians, we give each other a pass. Oh, you know, they're just a baby in Christ. Well, they didn't mean it. But I'm telling you, lost people don't give us a pass. We know this story. We're not getting there yet. But what happens here, those people recognize Peter. Peter should have been up in the palace, should have been right there beside John. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, not one of us is to a point in our walk with the Lord that we are sinless. At any moment we could fall into sin, whether we recognize it or gauge it, big, large, or small. But He's faithful and just to forgive us of all iniquity and all sin. So He doesn't see it as a gauge. He doesn't have a measuring stick on it. A matter of fact, we understand that the Scripture says that there was one man's disobedience that caused everybody to fall into sin. Everybody to fall into sin. Adam, just simple disobedience. It wasn't something that we would say, oh, that's gross. Matter of fact, I guess we could all think about this past week in our own lives, you know, just this past week, and there was something that we were disobedient about. Something. Whether we disobeyed something that we... Oh, you said, I'm not a child. I don't have to obey nobody. Well, yeah, we're not children as we're adults, but we do have to obey things. Your boss says that you're going to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. You choose not to be there at 8. You show up at 8:45. You disobeyed what your boss asked. That's disobedience. Speed limit says 65 and you go 72. That's disobedience. So something in our life. God says that we're to love our neighbors. We love ourselves. If we choose not to, how many of you looked across at your neighbor this past week, maybe with some evil eyes? Disobedience to the commandments. Because all of us would have fit in the feet of shoes of Adam. Every last one of us would have caused sin to take its trail. But aren't you thankful the blood of Christ brings about the remission of sins? And all we have to do is put faith and trust in Him. So here, Peter's sitting there, instead of getting all the way right. To me, this is what it is. How many of you have ever been sorry that you simply got caught? That's the only reason you were sorry. If I didn't get caught, I wasn't apologizing to nobody. But we're only simply sorry because we got caught. That's not godly repentance. So you see the difference here? Everybody fled. Peter and John, or whoever this other disciple was, came to their senses and came back. Peter was sorry that he fled, because we know that the cock's going to crow in just a little bit. That's what happens when you're just sorry that you got caught. You're going to do something else, and something else, and something else, till the cock crows. I don't know what kind of rooster's running around chasing you, dear friend, but I do know I have Scripture that says, be sure your sin will find you out. That's the cock that's going to crow for me. The rooster's going to crow for me is that many times over as God's child. You know what He says in Hebrews? I chasten those whom I love. Whenever God does expose yourselves, and many times, dear friend, it's not God. I'm going to tell you something. Sin itself has a consequence. It has a natural revelation about it. You know sin, it destroys. I mean, it destroys. I remember my dad was a Vietnam veteran and came back from Vietnam, man, and he had all kind of horrible thoughts and things. And while he was over there and before he went, he began to drink. And man, he drank and he drank and he drank and he drank. He literally drank himself to death, trying to get away from those memories. I remember my dad sitting around with that. He got that Agent Orange on him. And it would start to come up. I personally thought it was maybe shingles. You know, comes and goes. I don't know how it actually works. But boy, that big old welts would start coming up on him. And he'd grab him another drink. And he'd blame the war. He would blame this just to try to get rid of the memories. And I'm telling you, it took its toll on him. My dad died at the age of 44, and I promise you, if you saw him at the age of 44, you'd have thought for sure he was 70-something. Sin takes a toll. Takes a toll. I mean, it's amazing when you look at what sin does to folks. It's not funny. Commercials, they've kind of gotten away from it now, but they used to have all the commercials with the Marlboro Man. Boy, he was a big strapping cowboy wearing his blue jean with a fleece. Was it fleece around there in the cold? Had his cowboy hat. Boy, he was looking over there. But they didn't ever show when he got cancer, did they? Sin, it just eats you. Just eats you. This is what happened to Peter. It ate at him. What happened? Listen. What happened to Judas, didn't it? Judas betrayed the Lord. He was sorrowful that he did it, but never found godly repentance. Went out and hung himself. Sin destroys. And this here is Peter comes to this point, and he's sitting outside, and he's warming himself out there by the fire of the servants, of those that were out there against the Lord. That's what backslidden state does for you. It makes you sorry you got caught, but not sorry enough to get right. Listen, let me tell you something different. You can never do something so bad that God will not love you. Come back to Him. Come to Him and ask Him. He's faithfully just. He will forgive you of whatever you've done. And different, if you're not saved, He'll save you. If you're saved, He'll forgive you. And He'll just pull you right back into the fold. Matter of fact, the Gospels tell us that He leaves the 99 and goes out after the one that's a stranger and brings him back into the fold. He wants you there. You're not worthless. Christ paid a price far beyond measure to save our souls. So you're not worthless. You don't have to be Peter and sit out there alienated, because this world is not going to be kind. Isn't it amazing that John was inside and that we don't read anything at all about them bringing up John, that you're part of, you're this, you're that. Not one part. And the Bible said there, if we read right in John chapter 18, verse 15, that John knew the high priest. So John knew the high priest. The high priest knew him. He knew he was one of the disciples. But it's the servants. And the lost people are not going to be kind to you. I'm telling you. Some of you need to make sure you got the right friends and following the footprints of godliness and walk with those that are going to lift you up instead of accuse you and bring accusations against you. And here's something for us too, dear friend. As God's people, we need to be careful about the things we say about others. Let our speech be seasoned with grace. It's only by God's grace we are where we are.
Amen.
Only by God's grace. Verse 55, the Bible says, and the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. Verse number 56, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain of the bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. In haste, they brought him there by night. They tried to make a trial, and they did not have even enough witnesses to follow through in their own religious laws. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And you'll notice here why they wanted the witnesses there. Because there were certain times under the law of God that there could be those that could be put to death under the law of God. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse number 6. The scripture says there in Deuteronomy 17, 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. They hurried up. They got everybody got there. And they said, let's start scattering these lies. And they couldn't even get people to agree. And they could not hardly go through with what they wanted to do. If you would, go over to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Back in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. The scripture says there in 2 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, and verse number 1, this is the third time I've come to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 28. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 28. Some of you better be very careful about taking the word of one person on somebody else. Matter of fact, we need to be very careful about speaking ill of others. If we have a problem, we see somebody in the problem, we need to pray up and get right with God ourselves and then approach them in a humble spiritual way and beckon them to get right with God. Not broadcast it. Broadcasting ain't going to help it. Not at all. The Bible says there in Hebrews 10, verse number 28, Hebrews 10 and 28, the Bible says there, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. So they were trying their dead level best to use Bible, to use principles, to use scripture, to twist it up so they might kill the Lord Jesus Christ. But for this very cause, he said, I came. They didn't have to go around, you know, trying to make up stuff. Look in 1 Timothy. Now let's skip past that. Go to verse 55. This was not a fair trial at all. Remember, the world's not going to be fair. This world is not fair. The witnesses found that they did find, perjured themselves left and right. There, but look what Jesus said. Look in John chapter 2 and verse number 19. John chapter 2 and verse number 19. John 2 and verse number 19. John chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Bible says, this is what Jesus said about the temple. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. If you read the whole context of the scripture, you know he's talking about his own body. He's not talking about the temple. But they tried to twist it up. They said he's going to destroy this temple. Listen, when the world is out to get you, when false accusers are out to get you, they're just going to keep making things up. Stand on truth. Stand on truth. Allow yourself to be true. The other day I was reading an article. God help. I hope y'all never get this idea. Preacher was preaching, been preaching at a place like 10, 12 years, had bought many sermon books and outline books and began to preach. And one of the church members went to the deacons, said to the deacons, I saw that same outline online that preacher preached last week. They brought accusations against the pastor and they fired him for plagiarism. I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing new under the sun, and I've done preached a lot of stuff in here that I didn't come up with. A lot. I don't know how you're going to preach through the Bible and not plagiarize. I really don't. They fired him. There was more to it than that, I promise you that. But we find all kind of reasons to bring accusation, just like they did here. Be very careful. When somebody calls you and say, you know, Brother Hector, I can tell you what, but I'm going to tell you the story about Brother Dave. We need to pray about him. Hey, say, Pastor, can we just call Brother Dave and talk with him, meet with him, and just hear it from the horse's mouth? That'll cut out a lot of this stuff. I'm telling you, it will cut it out. We need to have brotherly kindness. We need unity. We're working against the wiles of the devil, against spiritual darkness, that we don't need to be bickering and fighting with each other. Don't get caught up like this here group here. And I'm going to tell you something. Mob violence doesn't work out too well either. Doesn't work out too well at all. They thought they was destroying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords there, but it didn't work out too well for them, did it? Not at all. Their very temple veil got ripped in half, didn't it? Amen. The very law that they were standing their ground on, Jesus fulfilled. He's a top to bottom, ripped it. So they don't need you, high priest. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's how it works. Those of some mob violence didn't work out too well, but I'm going to show you something real quick before we quit. Look at verse 61 back over there. These are amazing verses here if you look at them and study them out. Verse 61, but he held his peace and answered nothing again. And the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? You remember the scriptures over in Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53 said he was like a what? He was oppressed. He was like a lamb, silent, led to the slaughter. Fulfillment of scripture. He didn't say a word. Just quiet. He tried to bluff him out. He said, why are you holding your peace? The high priest did. And he just held his peace and said, he said, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? That's truth. And what did Jesus say? And Jesus said, I am. That's a divine name. You remember back in Exodus, whenever Moses talked to God at the burning bush, said, what am I going to tell him? God say to him? Tell him that I am, have sent you. Let's look at a few verses right here. Look at John chapter number 10 and verse number 33. John chapter 10 and verse number 33. You think they didn't understand what he was saying? I'm telling you, they understood. John 10 and verse number 33. Listen what they said here. This is a group of them gathered around Jesus in John 10, 33. And the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood when he said, I am that I am. They understood it. But they said, it's not because you just healed somebody, and not for some good work, but it's because you done blasphemed and made yourself God. Look with me, if you would, in John 18 and verse 6. John 18 and verse 6. The Gospel of John 18, verse 6, the Bible says here, As soon then as he had said unto them, listen what he said, I am he. They went backward and fell to the ground. There's power in the name of God. They came and asked. They're seeking for him. And they want to. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you would, back up a couple of verses. Then Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, who seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, guess what? I am he. And the Bible says, as soon as he said, they fell back. Backwards. Because there's power in the name of Jehovah God. Look over in John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. John 6, 35. And Jesus said here, he said, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never, never thirst. You're not going to answer all these questions that's being brought about you. He stayed silent. And the chief priest said, are you the Christ? I am. I am. And they understood immediately. What did the priest say in verse 64? And he heard the blasphemy. He rent his clothes in 63 and said, what thank ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, to cover his face, to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. When Jesus said, it's true, I am, boy, it turned them inside out. That's what, we've got to get to the point where we understand this here, that it's not about us. This world's not mad at you and I. We have nothing that we can do in our own power. But it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. And listen, that is the only name that's going to help. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, when Jesus said, I am, that was a done deal. Think about it. From that moment, he's already been up late into the night. He's been one to Ananias, now he's at Caiaphas. He's being judged. All these people around him. It's done got later and later in the night. Remember, it was grape drops as it was blood that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now they're spitting on him. Now they're beating on him. Now they're mocking. They're covering his eyes. Prophesy. Tell us who did it. He did all that for you and I. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning of what he did for you and I. Jesus went through an awful lot, dear friend, so that you and I could have eternal life. A lot. We're going to get into the rest of it. It gets a whole lot worse. All of us here are very familiar with the story of the crucifixion. But as we study it verse by verse and chapter by chapter, I think we'll really get a glimpse of what Christ did for us as individuals. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful that you allowed us again an opportunity to be in your house. We ask you, Father, that you would please help us to have good understanding of Scripture as we study out the Bible and we look from verse to verse and chapter to chapter. Lord, teach us things that are helpful and needful and applicable to our lives. God, help us not to be just hearers of thy word, but Lord, be doers. Lord, help us to put your word into action into our lives so we can better represent Christ and be the proper ambassador that we should be for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.